I am so excited about getting to start this series because I grew up, can somebody bring me one of the remotes that has the laser pointer? I grew up thinking that Revelation was scary and thinking that there's no way I was going to make it through the future. So I drew, thank you, sir, I drew on my iPad, I'll come down here and point to a couple things. I drew a graphic for you, I want you to see this, because as we go through the book of Revelation, I'm going to show you this numerous times, because it's really simple, and it looks like a hat. David, where's your hat? Can you put it on? Can you come up here? Okay. All right. All right, he's a gentleman cowboy. He took his hat off in the church, but then he put it back on for me. So stand here like that, facing me. You see how that looks like? So if we put the cross right back here, and then there's the brim, and then there's the rapture, the back of the top of the hat, and then there's the seven-year tribulation period down here on the earth. But we're going to be up in heaven, and then the second coming is here, and then the millennium, 1,000 years on the front brim of the hat, and then there's the great white throne judgment, demonstrated by a cowboy. Thank you. Awesome. Okay. So if you ever want to know, how can I simplify the book of Revelation, we'll just think about David and his cowboy hat. Okay, it's real simple. So here we are, right before the rapture of the church, right here at the end of the church age. And soon and very soon, we're going to see our Savior. We're going to meet him in the clouds. His feet are not going to touch the earth. We're literally going to go up and meet him in the air. I just did a funeral on Friday and was able to share the relevant passages about the rapture of the church. Very exciting. I grew up thinking that I was going to go through the Great Tribulation. And I got to tell you, if you think you're going to go through the Great Tribulation, you don't want anybody to go through the Great Tribulation. That's one of the reasons we emphasize evangelism, not only because God told us to, but people who go through the tribulation period, it's going to be the seven worst years on Earth's history. Many people on the earth are going to die. A large percentage of the earth's population is going to die. There's going to be a lot of suffering. If you care about people, can I just lovingly encourage you to ask the Lord to help you get over the embarrassment of sharing the gospel, because your embarrassment pales compared to the pain and suffering they're going to go through if they haven't trusted Christ before the rapture occurs. So that's a motivating factor for us, that we just don't want people to suffer. Okay? This is a survey that I did on Thursday. Two people became 100% sure they have eternal life. I'll put this in the box. I'm so excited to have a simple way to share the gospel. If you're looking for a simple way to share the gospel, can I encourage you to go to neildarian.com and watch a couple videos that I have there, download a couple PDFs, a little bit of practice. By the way, guys, I'm excited. We're going to start practicing that on Wednesday nights. Because as we get closer and closer to the rapture, I can't wait. I want you to be equipped and confident to be able to share your faith. And you might say, well, it's hard. Nothing's ever worked for me. Well, if you've never tried the way that I'm proposing, then, you know, you don't know. It might work good for you. So, but we're going to practice with each other as we study the Word of God and pray on Wednesday nights. So I'm very, very excited about it. Okay, so we're starting the book of Revelation verse by verse. Today's title, A Great Voice. We're going to see that as we get further into the text. And many people think that Revelation is too hard to understand. It's mysterious. All the word pictures are just mind-boggling, and it's easy to kind of get your eyes glazed over. I want to give you hope, and I want you to receive the blessing that is promised to those who read it. And so let's get started in our study, because I'm very excited about it. God instructed Daniel to seal the book of Daniel, but God instructed John not to seal the book of Revelation. What that means is, while Daniel is the key to understanding Revelation, and we're going to reference it as we go along, the book of Revelation is designed for us to understand events that are happening right in front of us. And so, unlike Daniel that was sealed, it's open, and God wants you to understand it today. The church is raptured in chapter 4 and doesn't reappear until chapter 19. And so, through this hardship, we're going to be on the top of Dave's hat, I think. Something like that. We're going to be in heaven, and we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and the Bema seat where Christians receive their rewards. So it's the grand finale of time itself, this book, and it is really truly the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. So regardless of who it looks like is winning, who's the winner? Jesus. And this book is a revelation of him. And when you trust Christ, you are in him. The Bible begins with paradise lost. It ends with paradise regained. And I'm excited. My good friend Dr. Phil Stringer says, never give up in the middle of the story. We're living in the middle with a lot of uncertainty and I think a lot of really hard times coming for the earth. But for the worst of it, we won't be here. And that should encourage our hearts and inspire us to share with others the good news. Jesus came the first time as a prophet. He's functioning now as a priest, and he's coming back as the king. Awesome! He came the first time as a lion, and while Revelation describes him as a lamb upon the throne, he really, in many ways, is coming back the second time as a lion. And so, the first three chapters are John's perspective on earth. And now this got me so excited. God reaches us. He does this with he comes to our level to communicate with us. So the first three chapters, he kind of gets us up to speed. And then for the rest of the book, he brings us with John up into heaven to see a divine perspective. What do we often need when we're going through hard times? We need an eye in the sky. We need perspective. We need to look at the situation and the circumstances the right way, right? And so God in his goodness allows us to get started down here on our level, first three chapters, and then he takes us up and he lets us see from a much higher vantage point, and it's so very, very awesome. So in chapter 4, the church is removed from the earth because the church in large part has been unfaithful like Israel was. Not busy doing what God called them to do, instead busy off doing whatever they want to do. But I'm so excited to pastor you guys because you know what you are? You're a church of people that want to do what God says. And I love that about you. This room, 15 minutes after church ends today, you won't even recognize this room. We transform it into classes, you guys are such hard workers and you love the Lord and you recognize what, maybe you can't carry a table, but you pray and you give and you write letters to other people. You encourage people. You visit people that are sick. You're in it. You're in it because Jesus won it. You're not in it to win it. You're in it because he already won and you're serving your hearts out in a local church. And that's the only way to have a truly fulfilled Christian life is to serve your heart out in a good local church that's reaching the world with the gospel. So can I give you guys a COVID-friendly high five? Oh yeah. Okay. Some of you responded. Can you all give me a high five now that you're ready? Ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Guys are amazing. It's the joy of my life to get to pastor this church, and I love teaching the Word of God, and I'm super excited about this. Let's look at the theme verse of the whole book, Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So it's not just the present, but it's the future. And so very excited about that. God sees the end from the beginning. And I remember our kids when they were in Israel. We took our kids when they were younger to Israel several times. And we would always tell them to stay up by the guide. This is back before they had the little transmitters and you could put the little earpiece in and hear. And the group, you could only hear if you were kind of within 15 feet or so of the guide. And so we always told our kids and they're like 11 years old, 4 years old, whatever age they were. If they're 4 years old, they're probably staying holding our hand. But at 11, we told Amanda, you go stay by the guide because we want you to hear everything the guide says. And can I just encourage you, as time goes forward, stay close to the Savior because he sees the things which shall be hereafter. Not just the things that are right now, but he sees the things that shall be hereafter. And if you stay by the guide, you're going to be in a good spot because you have the best information and you're hearing it clearly. Okay, so let's plunge right into this timely verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation, starting with Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Aren't you glad we serve a God who knows the future? And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. God doesn't leave us in the dark. It says, which must shortly come to pass, and it doesn't mean that, because this is written 2,000 years ago, the word shortly means once it happens very quickly. So how many of you have ridden Millennium Force at Cedar Point? And you endure the clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack all the way up. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then you hang at the top for a little bit, and you don't know when the plunge is going to happen, but the word shall shortly come to pass. And when Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly," what it means is once that car rocks forward, you plunge, and it happens really fast. And so you don't know when it's going to happen. That he doesn't tell us when the rapture is going to occur. That's why that's a motivation for us to live pure and godly lives and to yield to him and to take the word seriously and to really get plugged into a good local church so that we can encourage each other. And sometimes you're the one doing the encouraging, sometimes you're the one being encouraged, but we're serving together, we're helping each other, because we never know when that moment's going to happen, and we want to be found faithful when he returns. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. I want you to be blessed. You know what? You're blessed just to hear these words. But you're also blessed, last part of the verse, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, verse 4, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. So God's grace leads to peace. So when you experience the grace of God, see, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve, but grace is getting something you don't deserve. So it'd be like this. God is merciful not to send us as believers to hell, but he's gracious to send us as believers instead to heaven. You see, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. But we get peace when we experience the grace of God. And his grace is available to every single person. When Christ died, he died for every person. He died for all sin, for all people, for all time. And it's our privilege. When I pray for political leaders and for people who may not yet have trusted Christ, I am seriously praying the Holy Spirit of God will convict their heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that they'll simply accept that Christ died for their sins and rose again. Because there's not a person alive that Christ didn't die for. And that's why we lovingly share this with everybody we possibly can. And this church is having an impact throughout the world. We support missionaries around the world. Our broadcast is heard throughout the world. We want to reach every person with the good news, and what a privilege it is to get to do that with you. But it all starts with the grace. Grace be unto you and peace. You're not going to have peace until you experience the grace of God by simply trusting that Christ died for your sins and rose again. The moment you do that, you have peace with God, and then you can experience the peace of God. Awesome. Middle of verse 4, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Aren't you glad that there has never been a time that God wasn't present? He who was, which is, and which is to come. You know how much comfort it gives our hearts that no matter what hardship he allows us to endure, he is with us. Isn't that great? I love that. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And I believe that seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were present and active at creation. Jesus is holding all things together by the word of his power right now. And the great voice that John heard when we get to verse 11 is the megaphone, the voice that spoke the world into existence. And he's the one who says, "Behold, I make all things new." I'm so excited to live in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm so tired of lies. There's so many lies in this world. You don't know what you can trust, who you can believe in, but you can believe the Word of God. And this is an anchor for us. It's a guide. It helps us know what we can believe in a world full of lies. 7 is the key number of the book, and it is the number of completeness. We're going to see the number over and over. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Aren't you glad what he says is true, and you can trust it? And the first begotten of the dead. Now, he's the only one back from the grave with a glorified body. But when you have trusted Christ as your Savior, if you die before the rapture, you're going to be raised with a glorified body. If you're still alive when the rapture occurs, you're going to receive a glorified body. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And where is that going to happen? At the rapture of the church. When could the rapture of the church occur? When could it happen? Anytime. So how we live as Christians really matters. We shouldn't think, oh, I'll just kind of get around to serving the Lord later. No, instead, we should do it today. Because the rapture could happen today, and so we want to be ready. We're ready to meet him if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, but there's so many good reasons to serve the Lord. One of them is you're going to receive rewards for having served the Lord. In the preschool class, the ladies have devised this method of giving the children Monopoly money. And if they behave good, they get an extra dollar. So if they obey, I'm going to put a dollar in your envelope. And the kid's all excited. And they get $10, they get a prize. They get a reward, right? We're typically motivated, some of the preschool kids don't appear to be, but most of the kids are motivated by the thought of anticipating a reward. Most of us as Christians should give a little more thought to the reality that when we see Jesus, if we've served him in this life, we're going to receive more reward. In a sense, he's putting Monopoly money in an envelope for you. And the more you accumulate, the more prizes you're going to receive. You're going to receive a reward. And every man will receive a reward from the Lord, but you'll receive a lot more if you are faithful. And so I encourage you to continue to be faithful to the Lord. And the prince of the kings of the earth, middle of verse 5. I don't care who the prime minister is or the president or the king of any country at any time. You know who the king of kings is? The prince of the kings of the earth? Jesus is not one of many. He's the one and only. He's the king. And when you trust him as your Savior, you are in Christ. And that's a reason for you not to fear the future. Because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the soon coming, all-conquering, unchallenged champion of the universe. He's the king, and you're in him. So take heart. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. Keep the divine perspective that you are in the one who is the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us. Where did he demonstrate that love? On the cross. How much did he love you? He loved you this much, right? He hung there for you. I like to tell Harper and Kinsley, our granddaughters, I ask them, how much do I love you? And if they're in a teasing mood, they say, this much. And then I tickle them until they finally say, this much. So Kinsley loves to ride on my shoulders, and I'll ask her, how much? And we walk around with her arms sticking out, because I keep asking her, and she keeps sticking her arms out. And if she doesn't, they'll tickle her until she says it, right? So they're 4 years old. I love seeing life through the perspective of kids. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be like little children when it comes to what God says. We should just open our hearts and just accept what he says and just embrace it. That's the smart way to approach the Word of God. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How can a brown cow eat green grass and give white milk? I don't know. How can a black sinner be plunged into the red blood of Christ and come out white as snow? I don't know. But it's true. The moment you trust him, he declares you righteous, knowing full well you're not. He knows your heart, but he loves you anyway. And he loves every single person. His blood was shed to pay for the sin of every single person. And that's why we share the gospel with every person we possibly can. Because Christ died for every single person. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word loved unto him that loved us is actually present tense. You know what that means? There's never been a time that God has loved you any less than he loves you right now. There never will be a time in the future that God will love you any more than he loves you right now. Rest in his love. Rest. We carry so many heavy burdens on this earth, don't we? But like my good friend Pastor Gary Glick said last week, we're supposed to cast those on the Savior. And like a fishing pole, we reel them right back in, and soon we got the anxiety again. Cast it out again. Cast it on the Savior. He loves you. He loves you. Let that rock your world. You need it. I need it. Don't be scared of the future. Don't be scared of this book. Don't be scared of the Bible. Don't be scared of the book of Revelation. Because he loved you. And when you trust him, he washed you from your sins in his own blood. It's present tense. He loves you. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we're going to rule and reign with him during the millennium in proportion to our faithfulness in the church age. Let's look at the graphic again. So how we live during the church age right here, right now, determines what level of authority we will have in the millennium when we rule and reign with Christ. How many of you would rather be the governor of a province, or how many of you would rather just be the... And there's nothing wrong with being the janitor. I clean the toilets here all the time. I'm still the janitor here. God called our janitor home. Sandra did a great job of cleaning the church for a long time. And then many of you are coming in and vacuuming, which saves us that work. God bless you. This church is so full of so many awesome people. I love serving the Lord with you. We're serving the Lord with gladness. When you pour your energy into a healthy church, you're doing it certainly not for the pastor. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it with gladness for the Lord, and it makes me so happy. Kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Literally, I think it means a kingdom of priests, but you are going to rule and reign with him. So John is an exiled prisoner, and he recognizes that Jesus has all the dominion. So we're going to keep reading. We're going to see that he's on the Isle of Patmos, but I want you to see that he's a prisoner on an island, and yet he sees that Jesus is who he is. The truth of who God is transcends your circumstances. The answer to the problems that you get yourself into and the circumstances that hem you in, Jesus is always the answer to those enclosing and circumstances that are closing in on you. He's always the answer to that. Your difficult circumstances on earth do not cancel Jesus' authority. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Do you ever feel like your circumstances are so hard that Jesus himself couldn't solve them? Here's a prisoner on a barren island who recognizes who Jesus really is. And where is he coming? He's coming, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, this refers to the glorious appearing, not the rapture. So let's look at the graphic again. So, every eye shall see him at the second coming, the glorious appearing, not at the rapture, because at the rapture, it's going to happen in the blink of an eye, and not every eye will see him. But at the second coming, every eye will see him. I love studying the book of Revelation. I love understanding the truth of God's word because it has direct bearing on our circumstances right now today. If I didn't know the God who knew the future, I would feel so much despair as far as us as a country. As we're plunging headlong into Marxism, I'd think, oh my goodness, humans never learn. Can they not read history? They're going to listen to fancy talk from certain people and think, oh, that's a great idea. Let's go do that. Let's make everybody poor and subject to government overreach and they'll be happy? No, that doesn't make humans happy. That crushes the human spirit. I'd be so discouraged. I mean, I'd crawl under something and never come out if I didn't know Jesus. But because I know Jesus, I know how this thing ends. It doesn't matter how many battles we lose, we win the war. Okay, and it's a spiritual battle. It's between good and evil. Marxism is satanic. It's evil. But is God still king in communist countries? Yes. Is Jesus still with you when you're in a prison cell? Yes. We don't need to fear death. The Bible says don't fear those that can take your life. Fear him rather that can take your life and your soul. So let's just only fear God. Let's not let this penetrate to the core of us, fear of the future. And as we lose many of the things that make America great, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, in many ways those things are already gone and they're dissolving by the day. But let's pray for a peaceful transition of power on Wednesday. Let's pray for our new president. The Bible commands us to do that. Let's obey to the extent that we possibly can and be supportive. There was civil disobedience in the New Testament. They were never violent, but they sometimes did what God told them to do instead of what the authorities told them to do, and they suffered the consequences. They went to prison. Paul had his head chopped off by Nero. Guess what? He collected the martyr's crown. You know, sometimes McDonald's has Happy Meals, and sometimes kids, they're really smart with their marketing. Have you guys noticed? Nobody makes better French fries than McDonald's. Sometimes kids want to collect the whole set of a toy of Happy Meals. Have you guys ever been part of this? Okay, this guy's over here. Thumbs up, yeah. The only way to collect the whole set of crowns for the believer is to die as a martyr. What that means is not like Islam martyr, but as a believer who's doing what's right. And so what's right is you're just faithfully proclaiming the gospel that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and when you're told not to, you keep doing it. And if that costs you your life, it is not a big deal. We need to have the right perspective on life. So every knee is going to bow before him. Every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. And I can't wait to see Jesus. But the nations of the earth are going to wail. Can you imagine? You don't have to imagine. Have you ever seen a mother tell a two-year-old not to do something? And as soon as mom's back is turned, they go do it? And when mom turns around and says whatever their name is, usually it's like at least first name and middle name. Sometimes we'll just use, since we're already picking on David. David, what's your middle name?
Gorgeous.
Oh, okay. I'm impressed. Okay, so my first name is Othniel. Well, let's just pretend that you have a different name. Okay. David George Hurlow, right. I almost said Harriman, but I know how this works. David George Hurlow, I mean, if your mom caught you at 2 years old and you heard those words, you knew you were in trouble. The nations of the earth will wail. You know why? Because Marxism and religion are incompatible. Marxism insists on crushing all opposition and all dissent and all other opinions, demands total control. It's really Satan trying to control the world. But when God comes back and says, not so fast, they're going to wail like two-year-olds. And he wins. And he's already won. And the Bible describes us as more than conquerors through him that loved us. Don't be downcast. Have the right perspective. Revelation is going to encourage you so much. I didn't even get to half my message today. That's okay. Well, you don't even know why I titled it The Great Voice, because he heard a great voice behind him on the Lord's Day, and the word great means mega, like a megaphone. The voice that spoke the world into existence, let there be light, spoke to John, and he recorded it for us. It's so exciting to get to study it with you and have our hearts be filled with hope. He's the God of all hope. The rapture is called the blessed hope. I have an 01 CRV, and it continues to progressively fall apart. As we drive it down the dirt road that we live on, it falls apart even faster. Right now, I think it's missing a tie rod because it needs a new cradle, and the mechanic ordered that, and I don't even know. It attaches to the sway bar, and I'm missing that, so he told me, until I fix it, don't go around corners very fast. Well, it's a four-cylinder, so it doesn't go very fast anyway, but I haven't been going fast around corners until it gets fixed. You know what this world is like? It's like an old vehicle that keeps developing another rattle, another problem. This world is not our home. We're just strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're to be good citizens while we're here. Honor civil authorities, pray for them, try to encourage them. I have an important meeting coming up on Wednesday, later in the afternoon. I'd ask you to pray for me that I'll do a good job with that. But this world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The word of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Be smart. Stay plugged into Jesus. Stay plugged into his word and let him encourage you. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, be like the two people on that survey that went from 70% sure and 80% sure to 100% sure in a matter of a few minutes by simply trusting that Christ died for their sins and rose again. You can't get to heaven by being good. If you could get to heaven by being good, why did Jesus have to die? All the religions of the world teach that you get to heaven by being good. I asked this person, why would God let you in? Because I've lived a good life. I've been a good person, the other person said. Is that how you get to heaven? Is that what John 3:16 says? What does John 3:16 say? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say whoever's a good person, whoever lives a good life, whoever does their best, whoever has their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. No, it says whosoever believes. It means put all your trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins and rose again. If you've never done that, please do it right now.